Well, hello there, and thanks again for joining me on this verse-by-verse radio broadcast. These messages go forth as a outreach ministry of the Wash and Word hand car washing business. We are located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come and get your car washed as we strive to earn the money to keep this ministry supported. We are a self-supported ministry, and it is your patronage of this business that keeps this ministry going. So we teach verse-by-verse Bible messages. We go verse-by-verse through entire books of the Word, and we believe that by doing this, we leave nothing out, and we fully equip the saints for that which God would want, that God would want us to be prepared for. Because let's face it, friends, the world is throwing a lot of dark things at the church today. Christianity is under fire, and God is looking for warriors who are going to stand fast and firm in the truth of His Word. By that I mean they are warriors, they are Christian soldiers who will dare stand in the face of this world and declare that the entirety of God's Word is not only important, but is necessary for us to continue in our growth. And there are a lot of churches out there, and there are a lot of pastors out there doing wonderful things. But at the moment we start neglecting the entirety of God's Word, we begin to lose ground in this battle. And again, God is looking for warriors, Christian warriors who will stand firm and fast with His Word. And that's what we're trying to do here by giving you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We began a new book in yesterday's sermon, and that is the book of Jonah. And we are in the process of giving you a little background on that book. And you can listen to this message by coming by the Wash and Word and tuning to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop. You can go to washandword.com and listen to or download for free these messages. And so in the time of Jonah, the nation of Israel is divided between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. And both Elisha and Jonah prophesied that there would come a time when the northern kingdom would be taken back by Israel, which was lost to the Assyrians. And when this took place, Israel became prideful and boastful. And this is the real reason why God sent Jonah to the land of Israel, to get them to repent. But in reality, God was sending Jonah to a Gentile heathen nation. And so as they began to gloat, what God did first was send a couple of minor prophets to Israel. Before He sent Jonah, He sent the prophet Amos and the prophet Hosea. And these men prophesied to Israel, and in an attempt to get Israel to repent of their proud, boastful attitude, they were not well received, I guess that'd be the best way to put it. They were sent to God's chosen nation to repent and to humble themselves, but God's chosen people did not. And their refusal to humble themselves and repent prompted God to now include Nineveh in the salvation plan of that time. And so Jonah was sent to a wicked and unclean people. Now, this is important to the entire story of the book of Jonah. And what's important is that, again, Israel's refusal prompted God to include Nineveh in His salvation plan of that time. So listen to this. Some minor prophets represent major doctrines. That's why I have never been comfortable with the term minor prophets. And again, the reason they were given this title was mainly because of the size of their books, not the content of their message. And so there are some major doctrinal issues that take place in some of the smaller minor prophets. And what we see here in these three minor prophets of Hosea, Amos, and Jonah, is we see God's compassion and provision for his own people and this is important, that of the Gentiles. What we also see here is the rejection of God's message and a plea by Hosea and Amos. And then God sends Jonah to the Gentiles when those pleas fall on deaf ears. Does that sound familiar to anyone? I mean, this is exactly the reason Jesus came, because God's chosen people would not listen, would not receive their Messiah. And as a result, a Gentile nation was entered into the fold. Well, that's a foreshadowing. This story of Jonah is a foreshadowing of what Jesus did on a worldwide scale. And there are people out there who say that we don't need to read the Old Testament anymore. Nineveh was a wicked city, as wicked as any major city you might find in the world today. But listen, God is still as compassionate today as he was then, and as he was in the time when Jesus walked the earth, as he will be tomorrow. But friends, there is a time when God's compassion will dry up and it will not flow the way it does today. There is a time when God will draw a line in the annals of history to come, and God will say, that's enough. And while I and many others believe that this book is literal, there are certainly spiritual allegories that apply. So let us begin chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now let's stop there, because there is a lot going on in these first three verses. So let's break this down. First, salvation always begins with God's people. And when I say salvation, in the Old Testament, salvation was the belief in the coming Messiah. And of course, in the New Testament, salvation is belief in the risen Messiah. But nevertheless, the word salvation is always connected to the Messiah. And first and foremost, salvation always begins with God's people. The word did not come to Joe Schmo of Ordinaryville. No, it came to Jonah, son of Amittai. You see, God sends his people with his message to those living in darkness. And that's what Jesus came to do for us. The Bible says that we were bought with a price, that we are not our own, that we were saved by grace, not by what we did or what we accomplished, and that we were endowed with the power of God by way of the Holy Spirit, not through what we have done or through our own strength, but through the grace of God. And likewise, we were given a calling and a message, not by our choice, nor was the message one that we chose to give. You see, all this to show you that there is no room for fear or rebellion or shyness or omission or neglect or ignoring or unworthiness or any of those words that you want to apply when it comes to fulfilling that mission. And you say, what mission, handsome radio preacher? The mission of salvation. Because again, salvation always begins with God's people. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, but it was not for him. It was for Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was founded by a man by the name of Nimrod. Does that name sound familiar, other than what your wife probably calls you on a regular basis? Nimrod was Noah's great-grandson. And a study of Genesis also shows that Nimrod was a mighty hunter of souls. He was a wicked, evil man who was responsible for building and erecting the Tower of Babel. He was a prideful man attempting to reach heaven on his own merit. He was proud and arrogant and evil, and what he created stood for centuries as a foundation of evil. And that's where this city of Nineveh became and where it was founded. Listen, every foundation that does not begin with Jesus becomes a house of smoke and mirrors and deception. Every foundation that does not begin with Jesus becomes a house of smoke and mirrors and deception. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." In Luke chapter 6, 47 through 48, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built." The foundation is so important. And if it doesn't begin with Jesus, it is just a house of smoke and mirrors and deceptions. The Muslim nation was founded on the falsehood of desert, wasteland, famine, and drought-ridden areas. Nations that are founded on communism and socialism are born and they are poor in spirit and they are in bondage. But nations that are found upon Jesus are strong and fruitful and plentiful, and they are esteemed, which is why we must keep praying for revival, not only in this country, but in Israel, because we are not without hope. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child in the way that we should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." And while America was built on a firm foundation, can you imagine what this country would be like if we again return to our youthful training? But moving on here, we see Jonah was sent to the nation of Nineveh, the town of Nineveh, in verse 2. And, you know, in Sodom, when God decided to finally bring judgment upon them, it says that the wickedness has reached the heavens. And that's the same terminology that gets used here in verse 2 with one major difference. Sodom and Gomorrah did not repent, and we all know what happened to them. But again, there's a parallel that is made. And nations that are built on lies are warned by God. And missionaries for the last 2,000 years or even longer have been sent by God to preach this message of repentance and salvation that were given to God's chosen people, that they would draw men out of these types of places. And as these nations rejected the word, judgment, righteous judgment, would fall upon them. And we call those nations deserts now. We call those nations third world nations, poverty-stricken nations. And one by one throughout the annals of history, as these nations removed or never turned to God, their lands became desolate and poor. And again, the call goes out to a nation of a firm foundation today, that we are not exempt as America from the fate of these nations. And if we continue to reject God and we continue to reject the nation of Israel, we will fall victim to the same fate as every other single nation that has rejected the repentant offer of God through Jesus Christ. And friends, that is one of the reasons why I am convicted to teach verse by verse, and I am convicted to get it out there as a self-supported ministry, and that we do it in a way that anybody can listen to. You don't have to walk into the four walls of a church. These verse by verse messages go out freely, just as the Bible says, freely we have given, or freely we have received, freely we are to give. Our motto here is to not peddle the word of God, but to settle the word of God. and we invite you to come back. Again, you can learn all you want about this ministry and this business by going to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.